Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, tonight's show is truly meaningful to me. I've watched this young man for the last 3.5-4 years, and he's been coming on my show. And it's amazing to me that a lot of the sport world truly didn't know that many aspects about this young man. He's a formidable warrior. He's a man of God. He's a family man. And he truly is 110% dedicated to the sport, which we all love. And he does it with integrity, honor, and humility. Well, at Bellator 222, the world got to see a whole new side of the Spaniard. But before I bring him on, you know, I always like to mess with Juan a little bit, as we've kind of become family over the years. So here's my little, I guess, ode to Juan, the Spaniard Archuleta.
Yo, yo, yo.
Don the man right here. Got a bust loose.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'm over there dancing, man, at the World Trade Memorial right now with that song.
Oh. You know,
everyone's looking like,
well,
what's wrong with this guy?
Hey, man. You know,
if they only
it suits
knew.
You fine.
Oh, yeah.
What was that, brother?
Right on.
Yeah.
You know, you went out to Bellator 222, and, you know, like I said in the intro, because it stymied me, because even the commentators are like, where has Juan Archuleta been all this time? Why have we not heard about him? And now the world's taken notice to Juan, the Spaniard Archuleta. What does it truly mean to you to go out and have a performance like you did against Dantas? Because, my friend, as we talked before the show, I told you there's only two knockouts so far in the last month and a half that really enthused me, and that was Deontay Wilder's and yours. So what did that moment mean to you?
All I know is a two-time world champ for Bellator, and he went to sleep, Big Don, and Horiguchi walked away with the belt, and I was supposed to have that fight with Caldwell, and I was supposed to walk home with that belt, and all I know is that my next fight, I'm fighting for two world titles, whether it's at 135, 145, or 155, so that's all I know.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm transparent. You know this. My listeners know this. You know, I was comparing that knockout before we went live to a baseball player. I was using that analogy. What is it like for a fighter when you just know you hit that sweet spot on the bat? You throw that punch that you know is just going to be a walk-off punch. You know, how does that feel to you, and what does it do in the aspects of your thought and in your heart? And how does it build you as a warrior?
Man, Yankee Stadium, walking into there, hitting a walk-off to win the game, it is done. you just walk off. I'm still walking the streets right now as we speak. I mean, that's all there is to it. You just keep walking and pretend it never happened, pretend it did happen. Or, I mean, obviously it did happen, but I don't know, man. It just, all I know is I'm still walking the streets right now of New York.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, it seems tremendous because we talk about the, you know, getting ready to be a double, you want to be a double belt holder in Bellator, but a lot of the fans really don't, if you look back, they really don't know that you already are a 7-time world champion, a 4-time division champion. You know, what you're creating is tremendous. You know, I kind of want to take you back for a moment, and then we'll kind of move forward. You know, the 9th of August in 2013, you made your pro debut. And it was in Bama, and you fought David Durant. Now that you sit back and you look over your shoulder in this last week and the whole aspect of the building of the Spaniard, what does it truly mean to you?
I don't know about no double belt holder. That shit's for the birds, Don. With those guys, whatever, they're cool. Good job. You guys won 2 belts. I'm coming after 4 belts. And Horiguchi got 2 of them, and Pitbull got 2 of them. And I know that at the end of this year, I'm going to have 4 belts.
Damn. Well, you know, if you already look and you look at your fight time in Bellator, you've already proven to be one of the most active fighters since signing with Bellator. You know, watching yourself grow all the way up to the Dantas fight, what does it truly mean to you, Juan? Because I know you wanted to get to that next level from King of the Cage. I know you wanted to show the world, you know, who you truly are and your hard work and determination. So what does it truly mean to you and your family? I mean, you married your childhood sweetheart. You're living the man's dream. You're walking the man's walk. So what does it truly mean to you?
It wasn't about going to the next step. It was about showing the world that I'm already at that step, you know? I mean, say what you want. King of the Cage has some killers there. And Patrick Mix was one of them Friday night, put away Vendejas, which I called from the beginning when that fight got announced. But King of the Cage, you know, we ain't no slouches, man, and that we're going to prove right now.
Well, I didn't
now,
mean it.
That
I didn't
run,
mean it
man.
In that context, brother.
No, I know. But a lot of people do, you know. So it goes to show, and it's no direct message towards you. It's just towards everyone, you know. That
yeah.
Sleep on us all you want, but four belts is within my hands coming at the end of the year.
That's crazy. And, you know, I believe it because I've watched you along this journey for the last 4 years. You know, and you brought up a very relevant point. I'm glad you didn't think I was taking in that context. But, you know, I had Christian Prince up on my show. A lot of people would say, who in the hell is that? But if you do your research, you'll find out he's a very prominent man in the sport. And go back to his early days, he created a fight league, which we ultimately know as the WEC. If it wasn't
yep.
for him, there would have been no Uriah Faber, no Dominic Cruz, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Zuffa came in and bought him out, and he went to work for Bellator. And
right.
he did a tremendous job. You know, I think you found your home at Bellator. I think watching you all these years that I've never seen a warrior so exhilarated or so pumped to get things going and create havoc in the sport and become the best that there can be. What is that relationship now like with you and Bellator? Do you feel more at ease? Do you feel like now you're going to get the recognition that you fought so hard for?
Yeah, I mean, at first when I signed with them, they wanted to put me on a developmental deal. Cool, go ahead, do it. Give me easy money. But now they're putting me on a deal that's championship clause and championship money. Like, all right, time to step up to the plate. The biggest stress of me was going out and performing, right, at Madison Square Garden, big card, and backing up everything I told them I was going to do. And able to do that. You got to put the hard work in. The foundation's already laid down. it doesn't mean I'm just going to go down and throw a couple bricks up and hopefully it sticks. No, I still got to go put the groundwork in of mortaring the bricks, putting the grout in, making sure everything's still suitable to make sure the building's going to stand, even though the foundation's there. But I put the hard work in this camp. I knew that we knew everything he was going to do. We knew where we were going to track him. We knew going into the third round we were going to put him away. But it just so happened the last second he fell a little bit too early to try to win the round, and we put him away. I mean, our team, the team that we've created is just phenomenal. And people want to run their mouths. People want to say this and that. We're cheats and all this stuff. Cool. Go ahead. Keep running your mouth. And the results are going to always end up the same. And that's what me with my hand raised.
Oh, most definitely. You know, see, what's cool about mine and your relationship is we've been doing shows forever, like I said earlier, and the progression has been tremendous. But you know, I got to tell you, you know, from your first outing in Bellator to your fight with Bandejas, I truly see a significant amount of growth. You know, who would you attest that growth to, and what aspects have changed? Because you see the style that you put out there against Dantas, and it was an Archuleta we've never seen before.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole team clicking together and finally focusing on a camp with me and me not jumping in a camp and doing a camp with a world champ and me doing a camp with a guy that's the number one contender for the world title. You know, just like, okay, guys, like, cool, thanks for helping me out and everything, but can we focus in on one camp for me and really zone in and really figure this guy out and really focus on Juan and bring in the partners, you know, pay the partners, pay everyone and get everything done. And let's really focus in on having a camp that benefits everyone. And that's what we did. And it was huge dividends. I loved it. Paul and Tiki wanted to do that. And I said, listen, man, whatever you guys want to run, run it. And here's my card. Here's everything. Pay everyone. Be a professional athlete. Have everything set up, and let's run it.
What would you like to happen next, Juan? I mean, I know you want Horiguchi. I know you pretty much called him out in the cage. You said you're willing to sign that global contract. You want to bring that belt home. Is that the fight that you want first?
Yeah, it's done. You know, it's just like there's no more running. If you have a belt, there's no more running. You know, me, there's no more running. There's no more saying I'm on a developmental deal, nothing. I'm getting paid. Let's fight. You know, these guys that have the belts, let's fight. You know, I lose. Okay, what's next? You know, I win. Let's continue to keep growing. Let's continue to get better and be the best one Archuleta that's out there.
You know, one thing that's great about you in comparison to a lot of different warriors, you have the ability to jump four different weight classes. You know, is Bellator pretty much giving you free rein in that aspect of jumping weight classes? Because you're known for that in the past, and you're a four-time division champion. So what does that aspect add to you? I guess what I'm trying to say is, are they giving you free rein to jump from 135 up to 145, 155, 160, or are you going to permanently stay at one weight for a while?
Horiguchi doesn't sign a dotted line. I'm fighting Pitbull. Whatever belt Pitbull wants to throw on the line first, let's do it. I mean, whatever we have to go out there and get a world title for my next fight, to have two world titles on the line, that's what we're doing. So it's pretty much who denies the first contract if we're going after the next opponent.
I tell you what, my dream fight would be Patrici and you. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd have to beg you.
I mean,
Patrici,
of course, is a great opponent and has, you know, great accolades, but nothing excites me more than fighting Horiguchi. Who has he lost to? Demetrius Johnson, you know, and who else?
Yeah.
I think that's it. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know who is I don't even think he's lost to anyone else besides Demetrius Johnson. But that excites me. That gets my career solidified. I put him away. I win. I take both belts. That solidifies Juan Archuleta on my Rise of the Spaniard, you know. And it's not going to stop there. Like I said, Don, we got belts we're coming after, and we got accomplishments that are going to be checked off the checklist. And but first and foremost was beating Dantes. And, you know, walking by the garden right now, it just – I feel like I'm going back to fight right now. Like, if I could put into words how I feel right now, it feels like I'm walking over to the garden to get ready for this fight, and I'm amped up to be the number one contender. But I know that I've already accomplished that. I am the number one contender. Who else is Horiguchi going to fight to defend his belt that's belt-worthy to fight for, you know? Who is he going to fight that is on an 18, 19 fight win streak now, 23-1, you know, has 7 world titles, you know? What, you know, look at all the matches they made before on Pride. Why not add that to the list? You know, it'll be a damn shame to the fans if they run from it. It's like, dude, sign the contract. Let's go. Let's give the fans, you know, I'm going to swallow these words. He's going to swallow the words not taking the fight and taking someone else on. Like, you know, that's gonna show who he is as a fighter, you know?
Yeah. Either take on the real fighter or take on the fluff. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. He either takes on the number one contender. But, you know, I don't know how this would work. You know, would if you did fight Horiguchi and it is for Bellator, would you make him put his Ryzen belt on the line also?
He has to. He has no choice. You know, these guys are in bed together now. These guys are co-branding together. You know, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You got to put both belts up. You know, you got both belts. Why are you only going to put one? Did Anthony Joshua put one belt up when he fought Andy Ruiz because it was a change of opponent? Fuck no, he didn't. He put all his belts up. He said, hey, you beat me, you get all these belts. Andy Ruiz won, knocked his ass out at Madison Square Garden. He won all his belts. This there's no more. If you want to grow the sport and you really want to make the sport worldwide and really change the sport, put both belts up. Let's go. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, you know. Put both belts up. Put it on the line. You know, put your money where your mouth is. I'm putting mine where my mouth is. I'm fighting Horiguchi, the best in the world outside of the UFC right now. I'm the second best in the UFC outside the UFC right now. This is a match. This is a matchup to make.
You know, I can't disagree with you. I think it's a tremendous matchup. I think, you know, Horiguchi needs to, you know, take this offer and fight you. You know, that's one thing that I want my listeners to know. And if you don't, you know, it's always, hey, Google's easy. Go and research Juan Archuleta, and you'll see the top 5 fighters in the world globally ranked, and you'll see Juan Archuleta's name. Juan, how does it feel knowing that you've probably got one of the best records in the sport of MMA, but you haven't gotten the recognition for it until now?
I'm not trying to offend you, Don, but the record and the stats and everything is for the media guys, right? So they could come up with these statistics and come up with that, all this stuff to put rankings on people. Fighters fight the best in the world. That's what I'm going after. If they don't fight me, I go on to the next guy that will, you know, just like a lot of these guys in these organizations do. A lot of guys turn down other fighters and they have to fight the next best guy. We always call out the best fighter, because we challenge ourselves and we want the best for ourselves. We want to really show what our work's been, prove to ourselves that the work we've been putting in isn't just going to waste, right? So our job is to go out there and challenge ourselves and challenge the best in the world. And that's what I'm doing. The record, the winning streaks, the belts, all that's nice. But at the end of the day, it's for the media to hype up and to put a card together that looks on paper legit. But I know Horiguchi right now is the best in the world, outside of the UFC. I know I'm the best in the world, the next best in the world, and I want to challenge myself against that. You know, he has two belts and two different organizations. It's what I've dreamed of. It's what I've seen. It's what I've seen strapped around my waist and both shoulders, and I come victorious off that. It's the next rules that's going to be laid out in front of me.
Oh, I love it, man, because you're always a man of your word, and you've been since day one. You know, that's what's crazy about it. You remind me a lot of Kung Lee, and I hope you don't mind me comparing the two of you, because I asked Kung Lee about his accolades and his record, and he says, I never look at them. He says, because if you look in the past, it hinders the future and it stops you from becoming a champion. Would you say that's a fair assessment of who Juan Archuleta is?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, it's just deep, because watching you grow and watching you become into this gladiator, because that's what you are, and to hear you speak so boisterous about what you want and where you want to go, it's new for me, and I love it, because you've always been the humble guy, but you know, as you know, in the sport, sometimes you got to talk yourself into a fight. Sometimes you got to prove that you're the greatest in the world to get the fight that you want. But now you're doing both, and you're having success at it. You know, when that Bellator 222
was I'm not saying anything that's not true, right? Like, I'm not saying going out there and saying, well, I deserve this because I just signed with Bellator and I have this and that. Like, no, like, I have 7 world titles. I've did my 5-0 in Bellator. I've came in a 4-division champ, relinquished my belt for King of the Cage to sign to a new organization to prove that I am that. And I've done that. I've knocked out a 2-time champ. So anything less than a championship fight is irrelevant to me. I'm sitting here right now in front of the Madison Square Garden, the most historic building in the world. And it's hard not to be hyped right now and go out there and tell you what I want, you know, and tell the fans that are listening what they deserve to listen to. You know, they've been with me long enough. They've held their tongue long enough. We've all held our tongue long enough. But right now, a knockout over a 2-time champ, you know, Eduardo Dantes, and that being a Madison Square Garden, I'm not asking for anything that is out of the blue. Like, oh my God, why is he asking for a title fight, right? I mean, I'm not. That's not what I do.
No, I don't think you're, you know, out of line. I think you're deserving. You know, it's tremendous, because what's weird is I know you're deserving of it, and I wouldn't say it unless it was so. I mean, I've never watched a fighter put in as much hard work and determination as you. You know, in my career, I've had the opportunity to shoot multi aspects and genres of the sport, and I know what the boxers, the legends of the sport in boxing, what it felt like for them to walk out in Madison Square Garden. What did it feel like for Juan Archuleta to walk out in Madison Square Garden?
Well, I've witnessed the highs and lows of Madison Square Garden. Aaron Pico's first fight, TJ's knockout over Cody, and you know, so I've witnessed the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And so I was ready for my time. I was ready to step in there. It just felt like I was ready to. And then, I was ready.
It just was what I was getting at, bro, was the essence of the building, you know, because if you look at the history of that building, the who's who of many genres of the sport have fought in that building. Boxers had to earn the right to fight in that building.
Of course.
So, I mean, what I was kind of trying to get you to emulate was, what did it feel like for you to make that walk out in such a historical place and create history?
Yeah, like I said, you know, yeah, unfortunately, a lot of boxers had to earn their right to be here, which I have too, you know, 22-1 coming in. But like I said, I mean, to me, I was ready to go to work. I mean, like I said, I've been here through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. So I already experienced everything that needed to be experienced as far as shell shock, being in a historic building. I already experienced the loss and the win there. And so for me, it was my time.
It's been a long time coming. You know, you look back, like I told you, I about jumped out of my damn skin when you knocked out Dantas. I've shot, you know, quite a few of his fights, and I got to know him as a warrior. He's a tremendous warrior. What you did was sensational. I couldn't have been more proud of you. You know, I know you're not one that likes to talk about your accomplishments and this and that, but what did this mean for Janae, the family? And what did it mean for you spiritually? Because I know you're a warrior driven by God.
Yeah, I mean, a blessing. You know, God's put his hand in my career the whole time, and I've prayed about this whole thing throughout the whole time. So I know he's been with me, you know, the whole time. And, you know, my uncle passing away, I found out the next morning he passed away right before I fought. He was in there with me, you know, and it was just it made it that much more meaningful, you know, with the way the fight ended. I knew he was there with me, loved to watch me fight, loved to, you know, he was my strength going in that fight, and I didn't even know it. You know, I prayed right before I went out, and I said, Lord, just give me everything I need to go in there and beat this 2-time world champ for my family and for my name. And little did I know, you know, my uncle was right there with me all along. He sent his best angel down for me to go to battle. And, you know, my uncle being by my side the whole time, it was just so impactful afterwards, you know. And my family felt, you know, to make a crowd in MSG jump out of their seats, man, that's just, you can't even write it in a storybook, everything we've been through as a family, you know. And it's just beautiful. So
yeah, I can only surmise, brother. You know, I'm kind of envious of you. You know, I'm gonna ask an elephant in the room question because you kind of brought it up. You know, you said the place was bittersweet for you, and the very same night that you created history with Dantas, you know, a teammate of yours was not so lucky. He came out with a lesson learned. What was in the heart and the mind of the Spaniard that, you know, what do you say to somebody, a young, tremendous warrior like Aaron Pico? How did you pick him up and help him through that aspect of getting taught a lesson that night?
Man, it's tough, man. He does all the right things, you know. Love the dude. He, you know, texted him after. I was in the same locker room as him. Told him I loved him. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to. I thought I told him everything. You know, that to help him, but I don't know, man. He just needs to take back and really clean house on who's doing the decision making for him. You know, and he just needs to. He does everything right. I don't know, man. He's such a hard fought warrior. He does everything right. He's a great kid. He's the full package. He's a great-looking kid. He's a great attitude. He's a great fighter, great personality. I don't know, man.
Great work ethic. Yeah, the kid is just a beast.
I mean, and your interview with Antonio McKee, he said it perfect, man. Like, I would like to take him by myself and train him one-on-one away from me. Same feeling, you know, same feeling that Antonio McKee has is the same feeling I have for him. You know, I love the dude, and he's the best. He could be the best, and he's the best, man. I don't know, man. It's just unfortunate night. He had everything going for him that night. Yeah. So I don't know, man. He does all the right things. It just can't. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. He's with a great camp, moving to Jackson and Winkle John, and Brandon Six Gun was the right move for him. There's no wrong move going there. I mean, he was around great people, great training partners with Patrick Mix and all the other guys at Jackson Winkle John. Just great different looks. Sometimes you got to switch it up and get different looks. And he had those different looks, and he had everything going. And, you know, he just, oh, man. Ah, man, I don't know.
Yeah, I could hear at least you kind of stymied, bro. It's left, as you've seen in the interview with Antonio McKee, it's just trying on everybody, you know, because everybody wants the best for the kid because everybody knows he is the best. And I guess that's the only way you can surmise it, you know. He has what it takes, and he just got to find the right path that he needs to be on. You know?
Yeah.
You sound so enthusiastic, it's crazy, because usually your demeanor is just really calm, but to see how your family, man, I posted a really crappy, what I did was I had to take it from like a monitor, your fight, your knockout, and I kept rewinding it back and forth, and finally it was blurry, but I said, hell with it, I'm going to post it, you know, it wasn't even a DAZN link, but, you know, I posted it because it meant a lot, you know, for me to see you beat a two-time world champion. To me, that night really was a pivotal moment for Juan Archuleta because now it's defined you. Would you, you know, hearing that statement, would you say that this fight truly did instill you in Bellator history and is going to pretty much embed you in the sport moving forward?
Yeah, I think, I mean, being on top 10, ESPN top 10, I mean, just everything, you know, just fucking, just everything, you know, it's the next step for me. It's the next right step for me. So, yeah, I definitely say that, yeah. For my family, for me, for my name, for my country, you know, for my ancestors' country, for my country that I live in right now, like the USA, for Spain, you know, I'm getting a lot of love for Spain and, you know, and to feel that energy and to know that they have my back because I decided to show my roots, you know, and for them to jump on board and have my track is an honor, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I was going to ask you about that. You know, it's kind of crazy because, you know, when I do post about you like I did for that you're coming on the show and the video that I posted, you know, there's a lot of comments and then I get a lot of inboxes from people telling me that, you know, they support you because you're their people. I can't even speak tonight. You're their hero that is out there to respect and acknowledge, you know, their heritage. How does that feel for you, Juan, knowing that Spain looks at you as the warrior that is defending their heritage, their aspect in the sport?
Yeah, I mean, it's great, you know, but it's also walking a fine line, you know. I don't know the troubles those people are going through right now, and I don't know the political standpoints that they're going through right now. So it's a fine line, you know. I'm doing it because there's Spanish blood running through my veins, you know, and I love showing that. Sports makes countries come together, and I don't want to cross that line with the political views and everything going on right now, you know. I'm here to conquer. I'm here to show that Spanish are here to fight and that Spanish are great fighters and that we conquer the world for a reason. And I'm back here to reconquer the world. And, you know, and just show the positivity and the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm here to do.
Amen, brother. And you're doing that. It's tremendous in all regards. You know, to sit back and be on this wild ride with you has been tremendous. You know, if you had to make a statement, because I know you're becoming more boisterous, you know, if you had to make a statement to Horiguchi, what would that statement be, brother?
You know what? Fight me. Put your belt on the line. You know, put your legacy on the line. You know, we're warriors. This is what we do. We go out and we challenge ourselves. We challenge ourselves to show that we are the best in the world and that we can take on all comers. That's what I want. That's what I want to leave my legacy as. I've challenged everyone. I've signed contracts that haven't been signed back, you know, like a lot of fighters. But we end up meeting. Look at Dantes. We ended up meeting at 45. Sign the contract, put the belt on the line, take the number one fighter in the world right now and fight him. I have the opportunity. We're both open. We just both got done with the fight. Don't take anything less, you know. And that's my message to everyone else out there. Don't take anything less in life. Be who you are. Be exciting, you know. Take what you deserve. And when the time's right, it's time to capitalize, and that's what I'm doing. And all my supporters, all my sponsors, my family, my friends, my teammates, my coaches, you know, Monster Energy, the Training Lab, Steve Marion with Legacy Builders, Elite Sports USA, CBDMD, all these guys, quality environmental. Thank you guys for making this happen for me and my family. You know, Kelly Ripa and Marcus Willis, thank you for having me on the show. Like everyone, and just Nick Jones, thank you for all the words of encouragement. I got to hang out with him and really talk about, you know, the next steps in my life and the next steps in my career. And, you know, it wouldn't be possible without all these guys and all these coaches, all these influencers in my life that have been influencing me to the next step. I'm ready, man. I'm ready to I'm 24 and one for a reason. Let's do it.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah,
or 23 and one.
You know, 23 and one, yeah. You know, would you say you built an aspect of yourself in the early days leading up to building of the first chapter of the Spaniard and King of the Cage? And now with this, you know, aspect in Bellator, would you say now that the legacy of the Spaniard is truly being created?
Yeah, it's created. The foundation is down. Now it's time to make it pretty.
I love it, man. You know, he said, I'll take on Haraguchi. I'll take on both pit bulls. You know, that's what I like about you. You know, the thing of it is, in the sport, most, like I said earlier, most fighters don't have the ability to transition in weights like you do and fight in different divisions like you do. Would you say that going forward that it's going to be a tremendous advantage for you as you compile the belts?
Say that one more time. Sorry, say that last part.
Since you have the ability to go from just about any weight you want, you know, four different divisions, would you say that, you know, it's an advantage for you, you know, jumping from weight to weight and having that ability? Would you say it's an aspect to you that is beneficial as you gain belts?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes me more marketable. It makes me apt to take whatever the biggest fight is next, you know, whatever the shit. I'll fight Brock Lesnar right now if he takes the fight. You know, all these guys, Bader, whatever, you know. Whoever makes sense, let's do it, you know. But as far as the real realm of, like, actuality, yeah, man. I mean, who else? I mean, obviously I need the correct notice to do it, but, you know, I can't take it on a week's notice, 2 weeks' notice, you know. Let's sign it up. Let's both train. Let's have a great training camp, because that's what it is now. That's why myself and Dantes fought at 45. Let's not make it about the weight cut and everything else. You train your ass off for the next 4 weeks. I'm going to train my ass off for the next 4 weeks because it was both short time. Show up at 45 and let's get it done.
I can't argue with you there, man. You know, yeah. Bellator 222 to me was one of the greatest outings I've seen thus far from you, Juan. That's just my personal opinion. You may think otherwise, but to me, I think you put the sport on notice. I think you showed the world what you're truly capable of. You know, one thing I did notice, and I'm kind of wrap things up here because I know you've probably been training all day or doing whatever, but the thing of it is I noticed the growth. I noticed the ability going into the Dantes fight. I noticed a new aspect of striking that is more defined, more crisp, and it's another element that you've already had, but it seems like you truly put work on it for this camp. Would you say that's a fair assessment, that you're more prevalent in the striking now than you had been in previous fights?
Yeah, I've been working with Dwayne for the last 2.5-3 years, you know. It better be showing, otherwise he's going to kick my ass. So, and you know, I've been working with Tubbs for the last 4.5 years. So if I wasn't utilizing what they've been showing me, I shouldn't be around the guys I'm around right now because it doesn't make sense. But, you know, adding Tiki Gosen and Paul Herrera into the mix, it just made everything click and made everything right. And, you know, just the work I did with Raymond Daniels was just awesome as well. You know, he just added that it factor to it, you know, and it made me that much better.
Man, I'd be scared just to work with Dwayne, man. If a lot of people don't know, Dwayne Ludwig, he don't play. You know, I went to do a photo shoot at TAM, and I forgot to bring my shoe covers. And that man said to me, he said, "You're not walking on my mats." He said, "I don't care if you're missing a leg or not, bro." And for an hour and a half, I had to hop around on one leg and do that photo shoot. And at the end of it, Dwayne came up to me and he said, "You know what?" He said, "You got my respect, brother." And he shook my head and gave me a hug. And it was like, I was still kind of mad at him because I was like, "Damn, man, you know, anybody else would let me walk on their mats, but he didn't give in. He made me hop around, but at the same time, I earned his respect, and I got where he was coming from." You know, Dwayne's a hell of a guy, and he's a great aspect to have in your camp. You know, Juan, like I said earlier, you know, you made a statement to the fans. You made a statement to Horiguchi. What statement would you like to say to those that truly are standing by your side, the ones that are giving you the words of knowledge that you need, the words of intent, the ones that are pushing you when you yourself, you know, kind of don't feel like you want to go there? Who are those types of people in your life that you'd like to pay tribute and say thank you to?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I thank them already, but, you know, yeah, thanks to, you know, all the sponsors, all the teammates, all the coaches, all the, just everyone that's been part of my life, my family, my brothers, my sister, you know, my nieces, my nephews, and all the little guys that look up to me that are always writing me and texting me, you know, I just thank them all.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, what words of thanks would you like to give Bellator and Scott Coker for giving you these opportunities and allowing the world to see the Spaniard?
Time to go get our belt back.
Oh, most definitely. I love that, bro, because when you said that at the end of the fight, that belt's coming back here, baby. I was dying, bro.
It is.
I was dying.
Take the pictures you need to, because I'm bringing it back.
Right? I'm bringing yours back with me. You know, I love it, man. I truly do. You know, it's an honor for me to have you on the show. Such short notice from your fight. You know, I know sometimes a lot of fighters want a few days off or a week off or whatever, but you've always been one willing to jump on the show with me each and every time. And for that, Juan, I love you, and I'm truly honored that you do. And I'm going to hand the mic to you. If you have anything else you'd like to add to the program, your social media sites, or just a word to your fans, the floor is yours, my brother.
I just want to thank you, Don, for having me on. Thanks all your fans for tuning in. I'm jumping on the subway, and I'm out of here. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, my brother. I love you. God bless you, bro.
All right, God bless, brother. Later.
Later. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. He wants either Patricky, I mean, either Pitbull brother, or Haraguchi, and he's going to take both his belts. It's a man on a mission. A determined man. And, you know, the fantastic part about it is I've got to watch Juan over the last 4 years. And to see where he was and where he's at now, yeah, he's a little bit more vocal and people can say what they want about that, but you got to have self-confidence. You got to believe that you can achieve. And you see that in Juan Archuleta. You know, man, it was great having him on. Great hearing his thoughts. I hope you enjoyed the show. I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, Cutman for Hire with Jacobs Disduran and Juan Ramirez, and last but not least, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice. On that note, it's been a tremendous show. Have a good night, and God bless.
volume up. Turn it up, yeah, that part. All bass, no treble, yeah, that part. You hear the motherfucking strings, yeah, that part. I'm just in it for the cream, yeah, that part. I grew up with hood dreams, yeah, that part. So I want a hood thing, yeah, that part. Must have the mayo on gold things, that part. Cuban link, pinky ring, yeah, that part. Thick ass bankroll, yeah, that part. Hella thick assholes, yeah, that part. They're like Tupac, fresh out, spitting on you niggas. Or something like a dyke, I'm spitting on you kittens. We can go from the shoulders, homie, you can get the mittens. We can go from the holster and the bow to get the spit. Guerrilla militia tactics, yeah, that part. I'm a Sacramento king, yeah, that part.
That part.
He's in my 9 hole 16, that part. Cash.